And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do it. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Welcome into the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton, a.k.a. SEC Mike, joined as always by my cousin Shane Sheridan, Big Orange Vols on Twitter. How you doing, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. I'm doing all right, man. How are you today?
Good, except, you know, we are pretty much a week away from fall camp all around the SEC kicking off, so... You know, we're really, you know, hitting the stretch run of the offseason, thankfully. And as we were just talking about off the air, I mean, there's just almost nothing going on.
It's a little slow. And I will tell you, it's kind of exciting, too. Next week, got some NFL starting up. It's hard to believe the Hall of Fame game's right around the corner. And that's kind of my telltale, you know. When that preseason starts going, It's almost here, you know, just a little football on TV.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that Hall of Fame game when all the players we love and know either sit out or play about three series, and then they sit back down and you realize it was just a big, big cock tease. But,
Do you remember that one year they had the Hall of Fame and then somebody put something on the field and they couldn't play the game?
I mean, that pretty much sums up that game right there, you know?
Oh, no. I was so pumped to see a little football, and they said, no, we can't do it because some idiot used the wrong paint. So I was like, what?
So speaking of NFL, one of the main topics we wanted to talk about today, this was basically the most interesting thing that Shane or I discovered today, and it's the fact that Yahoo Sports is trying to bring back fantasy football for college football. Now, I think most everybody is familiar with the NFL fantasy football. What are your thoughts on playing college fantasy football?
Well, I'm kind of divided because I will tell you, you know, growing up, I watched the NFL, but I'm a huge, as you know, a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And if the Steelers weren't playing, I probably wasn't watching a lot of football. And fantasy football made NFL relevant for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every game became important because I love fantasy football. I've been in this one league now for several years, over a decade, you know. So the fantasy is a big part of my viewing experience. However, college, I don't know. I mean, there's so many players, so many teams. I don't know how you can make that work. You know, 32 teams is tough enough. Now you got how many can you do in college?
Well, the way they're doing it is there's only going to be 65 schools to choose from, and that they're just going to use the entire Power Five plus Notre Dame, and rosters will be 15 players total. Which obviously similar to the NFL, you can only start one quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, a tight end, a flex player, which for fantasy people that don't know is either a running back, receiver, or a tight end, a kicker, and a defense, and then you'll have six bench players. So I played, I don't know if you did, but when FanDuel and all those kind of came out and you could do the daily fantasy football and kind of pick your team, I would do that with college football, and it was a lot of fun for the simple fact that, you know, you couldn't just go with, say, Benny Snell every week because you didn't want to do that. What you wanted to do was pick up a lot of matchups, like maybe if Alabama's playing Arkansas State, you know, that's a better matchup for all of Alabama's players, whereas Benny Snell may be going against Florida. So you don't necessarily, it's a lot about matchups more than just the player.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong, because, you know, a couple years ago, I knew there was some sort of college football thing out there for fantasy, but I thought it was more of an underground thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe, because this is what I don't understand. You know, a big fan of the NCAA football game, and all that shutting down because of the likeness of the players. And how is it? I mean, are they going to actually have their names? I mean, is this, how is that even possible?
Yeah, that the legality of it, I'm not sure. I thought this was basically illegal. I thought that's kind of why college football fantasy never really took off, because I was not aware that they could even do this. And I think that, I know FanDuel and what was the other one called? I think DraftKings.
DraftKings, yeah.
I think they both took a bath for various reasons. I'm not particularly sure why, but I think it did have something to do with the college fantasy. So it'll be interesting to see how far this goes. But, you know, Yahoo Sports and Rivals, which is owned by Yahoo, they're openly promoting this. So I'm sure they've went into this, you know, figuring out the legality of it. And I'll be interested to see if this, you know, catches on. And I'm even interested in maybe doing a league, you and I, and maybe some of the listeners here.
You know, I think it would be more interesting to do a league maybe just with your conference, you know, just to kind of narrow the teams down, you know, because 16, you know, then it can be more competitive and, you know, you're not just getting the studs around the league. It seems like maybe that would work. You know, honestly, it sounds to me who's going to benefit the most, kind of like what you're talking about, those daily fantasy players, those DFS leagues where you can, like FanDuel or DraftKings, where you can just kind of pick a roster each week, because people are itching to gamble on college football, and that was a huge topic, you know, coming in over the off season. So, if I could see more people playing that, and I do like that because it makes other teams relevant. You know, would I watch an Ole Miss, you know, Mississippi State game? Maybe parts of it. Or maybe I catch the highlights, but if I'm doing some DFS and I've got some players in there, now I'm really tuned in. And I think doing this, a lot of fans are going to learn more about the other teams in the SEC.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And obviously, the fantasy football has been huge for NFL. I think you even have people that necessarily don't even have favorite teams. They just enjoy playing fantasy football, or you know, if you're a fan of a team like the Cleveland Browns, I mean, there's not much to get excited about at this point. So fantasy football is kind of like an escape for those types of fans as well.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, every team's important now. So, it's a huge moneymaker. And the fact that they got around it somehow and letting you use the players' names and, you know, their stats and thing, I don't know, you know, who got paid off on that, but this thing could blow up.
Yeah, in addition to that, I wanted to discuss, you know, obviously I said Yahoo Sports, that's who's putting this on. They've debuted some player rankings for the fantasy football, and I've kind of highlighted those selections from the SEC, and I thought there were some interesting ones to be sure, particularly at quarterback, where they have the best SEC quarterback in terms of fantasy as Nick Fitzgerald from Mississippi State. What are your thoughts on that selection?
Well, just like the NFL, I mean, if you get a dual threat quarterback, you know, you get just like Russell Wilson, for example, you know, you compare him to a Matt Ryan, you know, maybe Matt Ryan can throw more touchdown passes, but what Russell Wilson brings to the game as far as his legs can win you a ball game. You know, if a quarterback has the ability to get a couple rushing touchdowns per game, then he has a lower or a higher floor than most of the quarterbacks in the SEC. Just the fact that he can get 10 or 15 points with his legs every single game that he plays.
Yeah, fantasy
caters toward running quarterbacks.
Okay, well, that makes a little bit more sense. It's been a while since I've played fantasy NFL, so I've kind of forgot about that. But because Drew Locke is rated behind Nick Fitzgerald, but based on what you just said, that makes a lot of sense. Jordan Te'amu is ranked the third best SEC quarterback, and he's a good dual threat guy. So I think, you know, obviously Nick Fitzgerald's coming off a little bit of injury. It will be interesting to see how hesitant he is to run. I think Jordan Te'amu may be the best option there. And then, of course, I thought it was really interesting. Tua is all the way down at number 8 among SEC quarterbacks. And I think, you know, he can run the ball. I think he's an underrated runner at this point. But obviously, they're kind of hedging their bets because they don't know who's going to start. You got Jalen Hurts down here at number 10 in the SEC.
Right.
Are there any guys on this list from the quarterbacks that you think are underrated?
Maybe Jalen. You know, he could be a sneaky pick. You know, the thing about it is, it's not about the team. You know, it's not like, you know, we talked about the Heisman the other day. This is all about individuals and who can put up the most statistics. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's why I locks up there, because he's such a huge part of that offense. You know, so his production is going to be out of this world. You know, probably 8-9 games this season where he just completely takes over. So you're kind of looking for more of an individual as opposed to a team. So what's the kid from
Jordan Taiyamu from Ole Miss?
Yeah, I mean he's going to be such a huge part of that offense mm-hmm. with his legs. You know, they're not going to compete. They're not going to, you know, win the West or anything like that. But he's without him, they have nothing. You know, so that's kind of what you're looking for. You're looking for, especially when you're looking at a quarterback, you want somebody that's mobile, just so that you know that you can get some of those safe points every single game. Plus, they're the ones that can really win your league, you know?
Yeah, and Mississippi State fans may want to cover their ears, but Jordan Taiyamu, he reminds me a lot of Dak Prescott. So he is that true dual threat. He's a bigger guy, but he has speed. He's got a great arm. And, of course, he's got all the receivers. So let's go down to these receiver rankings. AJ Brown, number one receiver in the nation, according to this Yahoo Sports fantasy football rankings. And DeMarcus Lodge, another Ole Miss receiver, he's ranked 22. And then I think really underrated all the way down at 35 is DK Metcalf, all play for Ole Miss. There's going to be tons of fantasy points for Ole Miss this year.
What about Debo? Where's he at?
Yeah, that's an interesting – Debo is all the way down at 34, and I can't understand that one for the life of me unless Yahoo's just maybe doesn't know how good he is, or I don't know if his kick and punt return yardage will factor in on – I guess that would factor in more with the defense than him individually. That's the only way I could see him all the way down at 34, because I think if Debo Samuel's healthy, he needs to be, you know, right behind A.J. Brown, and I think there's a separation between number three.
Right. Well, two, typically, and I don't know how Yahoo's going to set up theirs, but if it's anything to resemble if it's a PPR league, which it's a point per reception,
mm-hmm.
every time they catch the ball, it counts as a point. Every time they get 10 yards, it counts as a point. The reason I like Debo is the fact that he's going to be involved in a rushing game. And like rushing yards in fantasy football, you get a point for every 10 yards you rush. So I think, you know, Debo's one of those guys that's going to get you – he may get you 30, 40 yards rushing every single game. So now you're looking at a four-point base and then everything that he catches. And he's such a utility player, you know, if it's a point per reception league. And, I don't want to dive too much into that, but – if somebody's catching the ball 10, 11, 12 times a game, they're going to have so many points just off catching the ball, period. The rushing yards adds. I'm surprised that he's so low. I would rather put my money on a guy like Debo than I would using my first-round pick on AJ, because Debo's going to get you points every single week.
Yeah, but one issue that they may be factoring in is his injury history. He's been knocked out for the year three times, so that's potentially a reason. But you know, I'm glad you're such an expert on this fantasy stuff, because that makes that makes a lot of sense for the receiver they have ranked number two in the SEC at number 17 overall, Ryan Davis from Auburn. He's a guy that they go to a lot. I think he caught 80 passes last year, but they mm-hmm. also use him a ton on like jet sweeps and plays out of the backfield. So he's a running threat as well. He'll get receiving yards, rushing yards. He's a touchdown machine. So Ryan Davis, definitely one to keep an eye on. And I wanted to mention DK Metcalf one more time. I don't know if you probably don't know this, and some of the listeners don't, but he is the cousin of Calvin Johnson, and he was I think he was a five-star receiver coming out. I think he was injured for the start of last season, but he really came on down the stretch. So Obviously, A.J. Brown's the number one there, but if coverages are going towards A.J. Brown, I think DK Metcalf would be a tremendous value at being Ole Miss's number two receiver because they're not going to be able to double him.
Oh, for sure. You got two threats on the outside, especially somebody like A.J., you know, he's going to attract so much coverage that it usually you see a lot in the NFL when you have two studs. It's the second guy that gets you those, you know, he was a sneaky pick. You get him late in the draft, and he ends up being very productive, not because he's that great, even though this guy is, but it's because AJ's that much better. He attracts the attention of the defense, and that leads a lot of one-on-ones and easy points.
And these Alabama receivers, I think, depending on who starts at quarterback, obviously if Tua gets the nod, I think their stock rises dramatically. If Jalen Hurts gets the starting position, their stock gets hurt. So that's another one to pay attention to. Just keep an eye on Alabama receivers.
And for sure. And one of the things you got to watch, though, because, again, this is a whole new territory for me. You know, Alabama, when did they stop throwing? You know, if they're up two or three touchdowns, they're not – these receivers aren't going to be that involved. The quarterbacks aren't going to be that involved. You know, this is when you look at a team like Alabama, you're probably better off getting a running back because that's who's going to get utilized the most when they get these leads.
Yeah, that's a really good point. As we touched on Alabama's schedule this year, the starters may not play in the fourth quarter till about November. So, let's go over the running back rankings. Your boy DeAndre Swift, he's rated as the SEC's number one fantasy running back at number 8 overall. And Benny Snell's right behind him at number 9. Those pretty obvious selections to you?
Yeah, pretty obvious. You know, especially with Benny, you know, he's so involved with their offense. He is their centerpiece. Swift, very similar too. Doesn't he catch a lot out of the backfield?
He does, and I believe he returns kicks as well. So if you get points for that as well, that could be an added boost.
Yeah. I mean, and typically with the fantasy, you know, you only get points on kick returns if it's for a touchdown. They typically don't do yards or anything like that. There are some leagues, but your basic standard leagues aren't going to give you points unless they get a touchdown. But a running back that has a lot of receptions has a lot more value, kind of like with the NFL, why Le'Veon Bell does so well, because he may have a game where he has 40 yards rushing, but he has 10 catches for 80, you know. So you're kind of looking, I don't want to call it a dual threat, but, you know, for a running back that has the hands and can get the yards between the tackles, those are the ones you want to land because they're so involved with the offense.
It's kind of interesting to see Damian Harris all the way down at number 18. They've got him listed as number 18 running back in the nation because he probably is going to be the bell cow for Alabama. And you just mentioned how valuable those Crimson Tide running backs could be. I got my eye on Cam Martin because, you know, he's not done much in his career for Auburn. He's listed as the number 26 running back in the nation. But Gus Malzahn just seems to, like, get these guys that come out of nowhere and they're capable of putting up as much as, like, 1,800 rushing yards. So,
yeah,
I think the danger there is just we don't know that he's going to be the number one guy. But if he is, and Gus Malzahn said he would be, you know, at SEC Media, as he said, at this point he is, he's got a big-time potential. And down at number 45, we've got Jordan Scarlett for Florida. We've touched on him on a previous episode. You know, he took the last year off thanks to some credit card fraud. but he's got some fresh legs, and we know Dan Mullen, you know, they don't have a quarterback, so they're going to be running the heck out of the ball. He could be another really great option.
And, two, you know, with fantasy – you got to take into account great defenses because if the defense is great, I mean, if you're fantasy, you want a shootout every single game. So, you know, if you can find an offense that is playing and they're able to get 30, 40 points in the game and maybe give up 20, 30 points, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for, in essence, a shitty defense because – the more the offense is out there, the more points you're going to get from your fantasy. So when you're picking your teams, you know, some of these teams that aren't ranked that high on defense or just in the league general, they're going to have more productivity because their offense is going to be on the field a lot more.
Yeah, that's another good point. So, you know, there's a lot of ways this fantasy football in college can go, but I see a lot of potential here. So I think it could change kind of the way fans look at games. I think loyalty in college football is stronger in the NFL. So
yeah,
I don't see teams or fans rooting too hard for, like, if you're a Tennessee fan, I don't think you're going to be rooting too hard for Florida or Georgia players, even if they're on your team. But outside of that, I think there's a lot of potential for this.
I agree. And I think that's why you're going to see, I really think with this college football, you're going to see more into like daily fantasy leagues as opposed to, you know, just standard drafts, because it's different. It's not, like you said, it's not with the NFL. You know, you've got your team that you like, that you hope wins. College, I can't imagine, like you said, that a lot of these hardcore fans are going to pull for somebody from a different team. That's one thing. I hope it doesn't, you know, desensitize college football with a lot of people and become more of an individual league than it does a team league. Because that's kind of the beauty of college football.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, it's about your team. It's about your team being good. And fantasy is the opposite. It's all about the individuals. It's me, me, me. And, you know, but it's a huge money maker. I can see why they're doing it, because they're going to make a shit ton of money off this. And if this thing takes off, then it'd be interesting, because I'm going to learn a lot more about the SEC.
One other topic we wanted to touch on, like we said, it's kind of a slow day, but this kind of piqued both of our interests. ESPN, they kind of came out with their own methodology, and they said they ran some analytics and whatnot, but they basically wanted to rank the best national championship teams from the previous 20 years. And yeah, I was pretty shocked by who they came out on number one. They came out with the 2005 Texas, and that was, of course, the Vince Young team. That team doesn't seem very memorable to me outside of that big Rose Bowl game they had.
No, I think what made that one so memorable was how exciting the game was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was USC, wasn't it, that they were playing?
Yeah.
It came down to the very end. When I think of a dominant team, I don't think about a game that came down to one series, you know. I think there was a few teams snubbed on there. A couple of the Bama teams I thought were a little too low, especially for the talent that they ended up putting in the NFL. And one of the teams – let me ask you this. Who did you think was – out of that whole list, who, if you were to rank, who do you think was the most – dominant team to win a championship?
You know, I think two teams come to mind, and that would be the 2001 Miami Hurricanes, who basically everybody on their two deep went on to the NFL.
They were pretty
damn dominant. And you know, Florida State from 2013, which finished fourth on this list. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that was obviously a little bit more recent than some of these. These go back obviously 20 years, but
right.
that Florida State team, you know, I'm not a Jameis Winston fan. I think he's an asshole, but he was amazing that year. And
yeah,
for all the credit that he got, which he deserved for his on the field play, that defense was the star of that team. And I believe every starter went on to an NFL career. There were several receivers and running backs that are starring in the NFL now.
Mm-hmm.
They had the best kicker in school history, and they basically just destroyed everybody on the entire schedule up until the final game, and they had to make that dramatic comeback against Auburn to win it, the game-winning drive. So I don't see how those two teams didn't finish 1-2.
Yeah, I'm with you there. When I think of dominant, I look at that roster that Miami had down there in 2001, and it was just – it was unreal. It was just like an all-Madden team, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They had – they didn't just have NFL players. They had Hall of Famers on that team. And it's kind of funny because, you know, they got the SEC takeover going on right now, and, of course, Tennessee's today. And they had a couple games on there with the 98 season, and – but I was kind of looking at somebody made a comment on the Twitter the other day about the 2003 Tennessee-Miami game. And so I picked it up, and even in 2003, you know, some of those players that were still on there with Vilma and Vince Wilfork and Sean Taylor. I mean, that team was still loaded, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, for 4 or 5 years. You know, when I think about Bama being on top, you know, it doesn't seem like it was just yesterday Miami was that. You know, they were just producing every single year, but they fell off pretty quick.
Another surprise, kind of in the wrong way for me, Auburn, 2010 Auburn is ranked number 15 on this list. Obviously, mm-hmm. they had Cam Newton, who was outstanding, and I think people kind of have forgotten how good Nick Fairley was, a defensive tackle that year. He was dominant.
Oh, yeah.
But outside of those two, I mean, that team was not very memorable to me. They played Oregon in the title game, and I think, wasn't it they won like 9-6 or something stupid? Like,
yeah,
I don't think of that as a dominant team either.
No. And I would have put 98 Vols up a little bit. I mean, they were the first one to win.
I was going to ask you about that. Here's my unpopular opinion. Now, obviously, you know, they deserve all their respect because they won it all, but I think that's a very overrated team.
Oh, you're crazy. That's crazy talk.
when I think back to it, it was just like one thing after another. They nearly lost, wasn't it, the opener to Syracuse. They could have lost that one. Yeah. The Florida game, they could have lost that one. Obviously, the Arkansas choke job. I mean, there was just game after game. It seemed like they were the team of destiny, obviously, but that doesn't strike me as a dominant team, you know?
The thing about it, though, that defense, that was probably one of the most dominant. Unfortunately, we're talking about whole team experience here, but one of the things I saw on there, 26 of the players on that 1998 team ended up on an NFL roster. 9 out of 11 of the deep starting defense made it to the NFL. You know, they had some serious studs on that team. Did they play some close games? Yes, but they only gave, I mean, they were talking, I think it was 10 games that they played that year. They gave up, they didn't give up more than 20 points, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, of course I am biased, you know, because I love Tennessee, but that they really did have a great team, and I think they were just a little too low. I'm not saying they were top 10, but, you know, 12, 13, 14 maybe. I think they should have been up there. They should have been up a little higher.
And that, they had Jamal Lewis too, right? When he looked like a little bulldog with those huge pads and just
– Yeah. I mean,
he was just killing people.
Jamal Peerless Price, I mean, that was back when we had some – I mean, if you look at those receivers they had back then, they were, I mean, Tennessee was a recruiting machine at that point, and they had a lot of great players. And like I said, even on the offensive line, you know, nobody gives the O-line a lot of credit, but, you know, they had Clifton, they had, of course, I'm Spencer Riley. I've always been a fan of his.
Cozy Coleman, too, I think. Right?
Yeah, that whole offensive line, you know, was in – pretty much went to the NFL. So, and some of them, you're a big fan of Clifton, you know, he was up in Green Bay forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still have his autograph. So I agree. I think this ranking for Tennessee is probably fair. You know, I you certainly can't put the LSU team that lost a couple games ahead of them and Ohio State 2002 is all the way down at the bottom. I think that's fair. I mean, that was another team of destiny that I think was a little overrated, but
yeah,
I wouldn't put Tennessee too much higher on this list, but I could see what you're saying, moving them up. I definitely think they deserve, like I said, all that 2010 Auburn team, that they should be near the bottom as well.
Well, and I think just because it was from 98, you know, it's 20 years ago. A lot of these people that are reading this article or maybe even writing the article, they were probably young when – they probably don't even remember, you know, half the people on this team. So, of course.
And we can't forget. No. you said they can't remember, and I said, and we can't forget.
Oh,
it,
hell
it feels
no.
like 98 every year, doesn't it?
Oh, that though, I don't know about this year, but definitely next year. It's going to be our year. So. Oh, man.
So I think that's going to be it for this episode, unless you got anything else.
No, man, it was a slow day. I mean, I was looking at what we could talk about, and of course, we got camps cranking up soon, so you know that's something to look forward to. And long as Florida stays out of trouble, you know, I think Dan brought them over at the house, just letting them camp out there. So there's not a lot going on.
Well, the great news is starting next week there is football with the Hall of Fame game, and for the next 6 months there won't be a week that goes by without at least one football game. So that's pretty awesome.
That is a great feeling, isn't it? It's here.
All right, I think that's the perfect note to go out on. So thanks everyone for listening. Give us all a like and subscribe on iTunes or however you get your podcast. And thank you, Shane, as always, for hopping on with me here.
Hey, no problem, brother. Yeah, and if you made it to the end of this thing, might as well give us 5 stars on iTunes. It really goes a long ways, and I appreciate everybody listening. Go Vols.